Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map. Hello, listeners, and welcome again to another episode of These Parts. I, of course, am one of your hosts, Elliot McNally, and with me, as always, is my brother, friend, and my traveling companion, your other host, Vince McNally. How's it going, Vince?
It's going great. I feel somewhat more safe than usual this week, Elliot.
I do too. We are in such a triumphant, amazing place. It makes me think of really what a hero our great-great-grandfather Rand McNally was.
Really, a lot of words can be used to describe Rand, and they are, and we use a lot of words to describe him. But I think the one that really stands out as the most earnest and honest is hero.
He wasn't exactly thwarting any villains, per se. Maybe the villain of not being able to know where you are in the world. But I think where this town comes in is that there's plenty of people to thwart any and all shape and form of villain.
Absolutely. We are in a town called Vigilante, Ohio. Despite having one of the lowest crime rates in the country, it has one of the highest rates of vigilante dispensers of justice, and also those to dispense justice against.
Yes, and we have a couple guests lined up today. Vince, I know that you wanted to be here for this guest, a very famous person in the town, but you told me ahead of time that you have some other stuff you need to do.
Elliot, we're going to be sort of taking a unique approach to this episode. Full disclosure for our listeners. We, as McNallys, are driven by a moral compass that points to true north, neutral, trying to remain divided on the issues, right? We want to present the whole story.
Of course.
And so that's why today we'll be interviewing both a hero and a villain. I'm putting those in air quotes. You can't see that because this is a radio program, but it indicates that perhaps hero and villain are not the black and white terms that we need.
Exactly. There's a lot of gray area in the town, and even though there was the lowest crime rates, one of the lowest crime rates in the nation, because of all these vigilantes popping up, you may argue that crime rates have increased because of that. So Vince and I really want to explore this. And, you know, who says that we can't reinvent the format of These Parts from time to time?
Well, it is in our contract that we can't do this. So
that's true. So if this episode never airs, then you'll know that, you know, the fat cats in Washington, et cetera, were pushing us down.
More fat cattery. Well, Elliot, I don't want to hold up this show. I'm going to go do my research, prepare my notes. Good luck in here with you are interviewing the heroic individual.
I am. Listeners, before I do that, I think we should put this town on the map.
Great idea, Elliot.
So take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps in whatever form you have and your commemorative push pins and get ready to stick a pin in, as we stated before, Vigilante, Ohio. Before I do, I have some help. He is one of the well-known heroes of the town. Could you introduce yourself?
Hello, Elliot. I am Socially Graceful Guy.
Did you come up with that name?
I was assigned this name by the good people of Vigilante.
Mm-hmm. So you started doing good deeds, and in the papers, they started calling you by this moniker.
Yes, the papers name all of us, Elliot.
Really? So you can never have a calling card of your own. You have to start doing good deeds and then wait for people to name you.
That's correct. For heroes only, villains are allowed to name themselves.
Okay.
Though I do get to pick my own catchphrase.
And what would that be?
I put the action in mutually agreeable interactions.
And that's a catchphrase for you.
Yes, Elliot, that is my catchphrase.
Do you find yourself able to say the entire catchphrase all the time? It's pretty long.
It actually works at odds with what I do as a superpower, which is to lubricate conversations and steer them away from awkward topics.
So this is your entire superpower?
Yes, I fail to see why I would need more of a superpower than this.
Oh, no, I'm just wondering. Do you have any particular origin story? I don't want to divulge your secret identity or anything, but maybe you could explain to us how you got this power.
When I was a child and I would go to my friends' houses to play and visit, I would actually be able to hold semi-normal conversations with their parents instead of hiding in their rooms playing video games. This is very rare for a child, yes.
You discovered this early on, that you could have these interactions interpersonally with adults.
That's correct. It's a skill that has served me well.
So there was no radiation involved, no meteors, no anything that gave you this power. You just figured out you had it one day.
That is a common misconception about the superhero community. Very few of us have actual superpowers, as they are called. Most are simple aptitudes and a great deal of determination.
Interesting. Okay. So what you're saying is, you're not going to see anybody with super strength or super speed, none of the conventional things that you might think of when you think of superheroes.
No, that is correct. We do have a hero who's a close personal friend of mine. They call him Running Man. His superpower is he is very good at running. He runs a 4.25-minute mile.
That's pretty fast.
He also is a very big fan of Richard Dawson.
So even though he runs a 4.25-minute mile, you know, I'm thinking there's people that may or may not be faster than he is, but maybe just in the town he's the fastest person?
No, he is certainly not the fastest person here in Vigilante. He is simply good at running, and I would probably err on the side of saying very good at running.
Interesting. Have you ever beaten him in a race?
No.
I was just checking. Do you have any things in the town that you're known for? Maybe any heroic acts that people associate you with?
Why, I am flattered that you asked, Elliot. Yes, just the other day I adverted a major crisis. A group of coworkers were eating burritos outside of a local burrito chain. The topic accidentally steered toward their salaries. Danger was mounting as each felt socially pressured to say aloud their salary.
That's never a good sign.
No, but luckily for the citizens of Vigilante, socially graceful guy was on the scene. I steered the topic toward the fact that we are all making less than we would like because of the prolonged economic downturn. At the same time, we enjoy a relatively fortunate position by living in a stable economy at all. Everyone agreed, and we turned the discussion to a sporting event.
Wow, that's amazing. So when people start talking about these awkward situations, does someone summon you, or can you just sense it and show up?
I can sense it by overhearing it. I often walk the streets of Vigilante hoping to encounter these scenarios.
If you're within earshot of one of these scenarios, then you will interject.
Yes, that is correct.
Do you have any sort of costume? I know for this interview you dressed up, and I just wanted to check if this is actually your costume or if you have a different one.
I have many costumes. It is important for a hero to be able to define themselves so the citizens can immediately recognize them. My outfit is slightly different. I must blend into conversations so as to not upset the natural flow of them when I appear. You are looking at my Wednesday afternoon costume currently, which is a sales attendant at a nondescript retail location.
So you said this is your Wednesday costume. What happens if you're walking down the street as a nondescript sales associate and somebody else from a different group of people is having a socially awkward conversation and you're in this costume? Are you specifically looking for conversations from sales associates that day?
Well, the beauty of my costumes are, Elliot, it's not uncommon to run into a sales associate. Perhaps I am on a lunch break or running an afternoon errand. All of my costumes can blend into normal everyday situations.
Oh, so you go about your everyday life doing your lunch breaks and everyday errands while you're being a superhero.
I take 9 to 10 lunch breaks a day and run between 20 and 30 various errands.
Well, that's great that you make time for yourself. I think a lot of vigilantes in town, I've heard, are so committed to their position. Not to say you aren't, but they're so committed that they don't take any time for who they are or take any time for their secret identity.
Absolutely, this is the case. Of course, it is not all sunshine and roses for myself, Elliot. I, like all superheroes here in Vigilante, have a nemesis.
And who is your nemesis?
He goes by the moniker Faux Pas. Faux, of course, spelled F-O-E.
Mm. and paw.
Spelled as it is in the French term.
Okay, so he's not some sort of dog supervillain.
Unfortunately not. I feel he would be a much easier adversary to vanquish were he an actual canine.
And what does faux paw do?
Faux paw, as you may imagine, inserts himself in social scenarios and conversations with the sole intention of steering the conversation towards something awkward.
Interesting. So is he dressed to fit in with any of these groups as well?
No. To the detriment of his efficacy, he has a garish outfit. It is black and violet and with a sort of Lone Ranger-esque mask.
So he swoops in, starts talking about, you know, salary or sex or something.
Yes, for instance, last week, perhaps you read about this in the Daily Trumpet, our publication here in Vigilante. Mm-hmm. He came to a social gathering at a park and began talking about a party in which only half of those in attendance were invited to.
So what did you do?
Well,
presumably you were walking by at the particular time.
I lament to say that I arrived on the scene too late. There had already been what we call a critical breach in awkwardness. One of the uninvited guests inquired as to why they were not invited to the party.
Oh, no.
I had to go full-scale evacuation.
And so what does that mean?
I started carrying this person away against their will from the conversation. Elliot, believe me, it was the only way.
Sometimes you actually have to physically extricate people from the situation to prevent any more awkwardness.
When I must, yes.
Would you call that a win for you in that situation, or would you call that a win for faux pas?
Faux pas had bested me that day. At most, I was minimalizing the losses.
Well, this has been enlightening, and I realize we haven't even put your town on the map. So can you stick a pin in Vigilante, Ohio for us?
Elliot, I already had while you were conversing to prevent us from needing to disrupt the flow of conversation.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that. You're so quick.
I apologize, but I also glanced at your notes. Allow me to segue us into the next segment. I believe you call it Local Legends.
And this is amazing. I kind of want to hire you on. You know, I feel like I have to do a lot of the legwork when Vince is here, but you are just seamlessly moving this episode forward.
I am detecting an awkward conversation where I must turn you down for an offer that was clearly not genuine.
No, that was very genuine, actually. Vince and I have been having some problems lately, and I'm actively recruiting different co-hosts.
And I am actively steering the conversation away from personal problems between someone who is not currently present.
If you would, could you steer us into what this segment is actually about?
My research indicates that you wish for me to talk about someone who is important, either presently, but probably in the past, to the formation of Vigilante Ohio.
That's exactly right. Listeners, Local Legends is all about exactly that. Local legends of the town. This segment, we're going to talk about who pioneered this vigilanteism in Vigilante Ohio. Would you do the honors and explain to us who started all this?
Of course, it was a man who now in the annals of history can perhaps be defined as both a hero and a villain. That is why, of course, there are both heroes and villains here. He mm-hmm. created a haven for us both. He was, by his own calling, the Tariff Sheriff.
The Tariff Sheriff. I've heard of him. I read about him in the Daily Trumpet, actually. So what was his super ability or aptitude?
His aptitude was for forcing people to pay a higher price than market value on goods.
Was he really a hero?
He was a sheriff, so he prevented any actual robberies, instead relying on his very obtuse sort of meta-referential version of robbing people.
Basically, his argument was, you're not going to get robbed because I'm already robbing you.
Very mildly robbing, yes. And only when you opt into a transaction.
What year did he come about?
He came about in the mid-19th century in the United States, in places like Texas and New Mexico. It was the American Wild West. Now, of course, Ohio was a much more industrialized area at the time, but the Tariff Sheriff wished to recreate the Old West here in the Mideast.
Interesting. So a lot of heroes in the town may not actually be vigilante specific.
That is correct, of course. We had our fair share of bloodshed and shootouts in the city's past, but thankfully, today, most of the violence is in the form of very PG muggings where no knife or gun is present, or various schemes and machinations that are to be foiled by the villains in town.
I've heard that although the tariff sheriff was around, you know, hundreds of years ago, people still are taking up his mantle.
Yes, it is still difficult to find a fairly priced good here in Vigilante. You'll probably pay anywhere from 0.5% to 1.5% more than market value.
And by mantle, you know, I just want to clarify for our listeners, the tariff sheriff had what looked like a fireplace in his costume, and he would actually burn your money in it.
Yes, he was a bit of an anarchist in that regard. He did not overcharge you for his own personal wealth, but instead to destroy the money most effectively.
Some people would say that he was his own worst enemy, but did he actually have an enemy of his own?
Yes, he did. The enemy at the time was called the free market.
Was this an actual person or just more of an ideology?
It was more of a fledgling economic philosophy than a person, per se.
Interesting. And that is why some people say the tariff sheriff only exists when people really need him or don't need him to.
Yes, he only ever appeared when he was most inconvenient to appear.
That's not really the trait that you hear about most superheroes these days.
That's right. It was a mixture between the two. He did not start his own trouble, nor did he arrive to stop trouble. He simply appeared in neutral situations to make them slightly a headache for all parties involved.
You could say that that maybe inspired you to become who you are today.
I, of course, like all the heroes here in Vigilante, have taken a great deal of inspiration from our great founding father, the Tariff Sheriff.
Now, was he the founder of the town, or did he just come here knowing that it needed some tariffs imposed on it?
He settled the town alone. He attempted to tariff the barn owls and rattlesnakes that were living in the area to little avail. Luckily, when he built a saloon, people began flocking from all over the neighboring communities.
And by that point, it was prohibition, and he was able to charge a lot of money for alcohol.
That is correct. In fact, it grew so rapidly, Vigilante, that he needed an assistant who he hired and named the Sidekicker.
That was the guy that looked like the Bill on Capitol Hill from Schoolhouse Rock, right?
He was indeed dressed as a legal document, and he would dispense the more, how should you say, strong-armed justice of the Tariff Sheriff by actually kicking people between the ribs and the pelvis.
Which was interesting because his costume, although a legal document, his bones were very paper thin.
Yes, he would often injure himself in the ensuing fracas. His efficacy can and should, I think, be called into question, but there is no mistaking his historic relevance. He, of course, was the impetus for coining the term sidekick.
Interesting. Do you have your own sidekick?
I, of course, like all villains and heroes in Vigilante, do have an apprentice.
Is this apprentice some sort of boy wonder? Does he complement your skills in any way? Is he training to get your skills someday?
Yes, a young woman studies under me.
That's very progressive of you, by the way.
Of course. We are a very forward-minded town, Vigilante. Even the villains are equal opportunity employers.
And so what is your sidekick? What does she do?
She currently in the process of earning her supername. We are working under the working title of socially graceful girl.
I probably would have thought of that too. That goes hand in hand, I think. I hope that the newspapers will catch on and name her that.
Admittedly, it is not much of a progression from my own moniker, but of course she will earn her own name in time. She shows up to nod in agreement or make small, nondescript vocalizations of support when an otherwise bland or boring story is being told in a group of people so as to ease the story to its finale.
Interesting. That's great, too. And I think it complements your skills very well.
Well, thank you very much, Elliot. She is, by all rights, twice the hero I was at her age. I have no doubt she will surpass me, and I will be able to retire like most heroes and villains alike dream of.
Is there a community for retired vigilantes in the town?
Yes, there is. It's called Sunset Oaks, and It is a apartment complex where they have attendants ready to bring you things like blankets and tea cakes.
This sounds like the makings of a sitcom in and of itself.
There is a sitcom filmed there currently, yes. Sort of a reality TV show, if you are familiar with the concept, Elliot.
I'm familiar with the concept of reality TV shows, yes.
Yes, there is one there.
Okay, no need to explain that any further. A question I had for you is, we're hoping that socially graceful girl gets that moniker. Has there ever been an instance where the newspaper, the Daily Trumpet, names a superhero and it's wildly off or inaccurate from what the superhero actually is?
Yes. I think most ironically, we have a woman hero here in town. She is sort of a grammarian. She is invaluable in making sure the legal documents of our government are in working order. The Daily Trumpet, in their pursuit of headline-worthy witticisms, named her Misappropriated Title, sort of a reference to its own reference.
Interesting. So now she has no legal recourse then in a town. It's the press kind of, and the media controls what these heroes are named.
Anything said in the news or the paper is, in fact, legally binding until they themselves decide to change it.
Can you do anything to sway them to make her change your name?
Yes. You can take all the conventional routes to ensuring a name change, doing deeds, campaigning, writing angry letters, as she is apt to do. However, ratings make the final judgment, and the people have spoken. They enjoy the name.
Wow, you know, that can be very unfortunate, I'm sure, for the start of a superhero identity and the makings of a hero worthy of the name in the first place. And, you know, you mentioned letters, and I think this is a perfect opportunity to hear from our people, to hear from you, the listeners. And I'm so happy that you, Socially Graceful Guy, took the time to talk to us amongst your many good deeds and your many errands throughout the day.
Truly, Elliot, it was my pleasure. Now I will speak in such a manner that will let you know it's okay to ask me to leave the show, and it won't feel like insisting.
Okay.
That was it.
Oh, that was it? I'm sorry. I made that completely awkward. And maybe if you could just back out of the room while I segue into this next segment.
I'm already gone.
Listeners, that was Socially Graceful Guy, and this is Wouldn't You Like to Know.
Elliot, I'm back. I'm back. Did I miss Wouldn't You Like to Know?
No, we just got there. Did you bump into anybody in the hallway?
I ran into the nicest guy outside the RV. He talked to me about some inoffensive subject for a very reasonable amount of time and then bid me adieu.
Wow. I think that is you interacting with the townspeople even more than you wanted, because I just interviewed that guy for the show.
Oh, no kidding. Was he as handsome as I thought he was?
He was, you know, average looking, I guess. I don't know.
Well, let's get to Wouldn't You Like to Know, Elliot.
Listeners, this is your weekly opportunity to write into Vince and I questions about the town we're in. Every week, we have three, and I've got the first one.
Let's hear it, Elliot.
This one comes from Travis in Winston, Delaware.
Hey, Travis, thanks for writing.
Travis, thanks so much for writing. He says, guys, I've always been a huge fan of comic books and superheroes. I'm really excited that you're in Vigilante, Ohio. So are we, Travis.
We are very excited.
He says, are there any blockbuster movies for the summer in the works featuring heroes in Vigilante, Ohio?
Wow. Elliot, I'm sure there must be. We all know that mm-hmm. superhero movies are fertile ground here in 2017, have been for almost a decade. People just keep knocking down the theater doors to see them. Have you heard of any rumblings, any rumors in the town about filming going on?
I have, actually. The big one that they're filming right now is for a guy they call Origin Man. And he's sort of an amalgamation of a lot of different heroes. The townspeople have a lot of different ideas for what their superhero movie should be. And like all great first superhero movies about a particular hero, it's an origin story. And so this guy just goes through sequential origins of different superheroes for the 90 plus minutes of the film.
Wow, Elliot, that sounds like it can't be missed.
It can't be missed because he's going through so many different origins that you don't know what the sequel will be. And so they're hoping that they can spawn several different sequels and really film them all at the same time. It's a very economical way to make the movie.
Yeah, that just makes good financial sense. In the spirit of this guy I've heard about around town called the Tariff Sheriff.
Yeah, we talked about him, actually. So this is going to be more of a historically based film then, right?
It seems that way. Elliot, I also have stumbled upon sort of a working set where they were filming some scenes today.
Oh, really? Wow. So did you get the inside scoop on that?
Yeah, it's for a movie called Captain Lieutenant.
Captain Lieutenant. So who is this guy?
Captain Lieutenant is a superhero who enforces the correct addressment of hierarchies in both military establishments and in other more informal environments.
Interesting. Yeah, so I know that a lot of people, and myself included, don't really know the particular correct rankings. So if there's ever any misstep in referring to someone, he's there to correct them.
He's on the scene, yeah. There was a thrilling scene being shot where he was in a European parliament explaining to a tourist the difference between a president and a prime minister and a chancellor, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that sounds like a good lineup of movies. And Travis, let me be the first to say that I'm sure that these will be hyped up incredibly, and then people everywhere will probably be a bit disappointed by them.
I mean, as is tradition. Elliot, this is a first. There's more letter written on the back of Travis's letter.
Really? Wow.
I'll read this for my wouldn't you like to know?
Okay.
It continues on to say, but we should not only look to the future of superhero movies, but also the past.
Interesting. So I guess Travis was a bit more of a cinephile than he let on.
It seems like many of people who write into our show are indeed cinephiles of one means or another. He goes on to say, can you talk about the film that kickstarted the genre?
I'm trying to think. Like, what was this first superhero movie?
Maybe he meant the original Superman, or maybe he's sort of referring to, let's read on.
The Batman movies? I don't know.
That could be. Please talk about Deliverance, a movie that was filmed and shot in Vigilante, Ohio.
I wouldn't necessarily call Deliverance a superhero movie, nor would I call it a movie filmed in Vigilante, Ohio.
No, it's set in Mississippi, isn't it?
I think it's set in Georgia. You know, it's been so long, I don't even know where the movie was set anymore.
It's been so long since we've referenced this film for any reason that the details are getting foggy. But what I remember is that it's not a superhero story.
I do remember, though, Travis, just to give you some partial credit, Burt Reynolds did do all of his own stunts in the movie, and that kind of pioneered future superhero movies and the actors in them to do all their own stunts.
Absolutely, Elliot. Not only that, but it's confirmed that John Voight is in real life a superhero, though he did not play one in that film.
Really? Does he have his own moniker in the town?
I suppose he must, right?
I guess, and it's probably too hard to tell. I'm sure that being a Hollywood actor, he doesn't want too many people to know that he takes part in Vigilante Ohio and the superheroism of the town.
Yes, we've sort of done the reverse here with Mr. Voight. Everybody knows his real identity, but few know what superhero he's supposed to portray.
Mm-hmm. Some say that he just puts on a pair of glasses and that's who the hero is. And so it's pretty easy just to spot someone who looks like John Voight in glasses, but you'd be surprised by how many people can't identify someone like that.
It's pretty preposterous to imagine that a superhero could just put on a pair of thick, dark-framed glasses and suddenly assume a secret identity, but
such is the world we live in, I guess.
Elliot, do you have a final wouldn't you like to know question for us?
I do, Vince. This one is from Iris in Olympia, Washington.
Thanks for writing, Iris. What'd she want to know?
It's sort of tangentially related to superhero movies. She is really interested in superhero costumes.
Oh, well, we've seen a lot of great costumes this week already, haven't we, Elliot?
Yes. Iris wants to know, what have some of our favorites been and what have some of our least favorite been? Sort of like a fashion hot or not of Vigilante Ohio.
Iris, this is a great question. Maybe you can kick us off, Elliot?
Yeah. There is one. There's a guy named Faux Paw. I don't know if you've heard of him. We were talking about him in a previous segment.
Whoever came up with that name for him must have been very clever.
It was a clever name, but the execution of the costume wasn't that much. It was just sort of like a black and violet jumpsuit or something. It kind of made no sense.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I can't tell you about who designed the costume, Elliot. I don't know why you're acting like I would be personally offended by you not liking this guy's costume.
No, I don't think you'll be offended. I think that you'll agree with me once you see here this photo of Faux Paw. I mean, you'd think he would be some sort of, I don't know off the top of my head, like a canine supervillain. But he is just a guy who wears a very ugly costume.
Well, I think we can both agree he's not the sharpest dressed individual in Vigilante. I also have to submit my critique for worst fashion. It comes from a villain here in Vigilante.
Mm, great. Who is that?
He calls himself the Chauvinist, and he dresses in a all blue and black tracksuit, sort of outdated black market sneakers, and he's often seen squatting and drinking malt liquor.
He could be mistaken just as a hobo, but he's actually a superhero.
Yeah, he's known for leaving a signature half-smoked Lucky Strike cigarette at the scene of most of his crimes.
You know, as the complete opposite to that, I noticed one guy who was far beyond the best-dressed person in the town.
Elliot, who was this?
The papers call him Narcisisto. And his costume actually
is he a villain or a
it's hard to tell. He sort of plays by his own rules.
Oh, a true vigilante. Wow, this is exciting.
Yeah, the cops hate him, but the people love him. He has a very well-tailored suit, and he actually has a mirror affixed to his costume that he can constantly look at himself in.
Wow, not very practical, but no one can fault him on the style points.
People fault him on the style points, particularly in the legal area, because cops are a lot of times, if he's on the scene, blinded with their lights reflected in his mirror. And then some people say that he lets the villains get away because of this.
Yeah, let it be said, though, they're probably made up of good people. I've never met a less effectual police force than the one here in Vigilante.
Yes, that's very true. And I think that's a reason why so many vigilantes have sprung up. They've noticed this fault in the legal system.
I did notice a guy who calls himself the Handyman. This is a villain, though his name suggests otherwise. He sprinkled some ball bearings on the street and caused 19 cop cars to overturn in pursuit of him.
This is the guy that's dressed like a giant hand, right? So he's not very mobile.
He's dressed like a giant hand holding a giant hammer. It's a very unwieldy costume.
It seems like there's a lot of different ideas stuck into that costume, too.
His catchphrase is hard wear that's hard to wear.
It really has no bearing on what he does or, you know, his superpowers, really. It's just a guy in a hand suit that's holding a giant hammer.
I think his thing is he uses sort of things you might find in a hardware store or a miscellaneous drawer to commit crimes.
So it's really like this guy just went to the hardware store and bought some stuff, and now he's using it to inflict harm on the citizens.
That's correct. I think the picture in the paper last week of the police chief tied up in a tape measure, this is an example.
And, you know, Vince, that's an idea of one supervillain, but we have another supervillain that I know you're going to talk to. Unfortunately, I can't be here.
Wait, you're leaving?
Yeah, the Daily Trumpet, actually, I was emailing back and forth with them, and they hired me to go out and take some photographs of different superheroes.
Oh, wow. Well, I know that photography is a fledgling hobby and hopefully maybe career pursuit of yours, Elliot. So
it's fledgling in the sense that I don't own a camera right now.
And have actually never taken a picture.
That's
life.
True. It's very fledgling because I'm interested in the hobby, and so that's why I was talking to the Daily Trumpet. I'm hoping that they're going to be okay with sort of like stick figure renderings of what I think some of the superheroes look like.
Yes, I believe originally when you were introduced to the concept of photography, you were sort of baffled. And why would someone pay for a very quickly drawn picture of something?
I found this thing on eBay. It's very similar to a Flintstones camera. Where a little bird etches what they see. So I'm hoping that this little canary that I have in this cement box will do some of the work for me.
That sounds like money well spent, Elliot.
So I'm off on the scene, and I hope that you have a great next segment, Vince.
Hey, thanks, Elliot. Good luck out there.
Thanks.
All right. Well, it looks like our next guest, listeners, is just approaching, so sit tight. Hello, sir. Nice to finally make your acquaintance.
Oh, yeah, how's it going?
You're very soft-spoken, man. Forgive my boisterous handshake. You'll understand if I was a little nervous meeting, you know, with a self-proclaimed supervillain.
Oh, no, that's fine. You know, my name's Wendell Puzzleman. I particularly am not the supervillain that you were excited to meet, I'm sorry to say.
Well, that is a disappointment. I have been emailing you, correct, for the last few weeks setting up this interview. You are the bad guy 9959. Is that your email address?
Yeah, that was really the only one that Netscape had left. So I had to use that email. And I always want to clear things up. You know, I am the supervillain, but I share a sort of a Jekyll Hyde relationship with the villain who I turn into. So, you know, and I can't control when I turn into him. And so I'm very sorry that he's not going to be here, but unfortunately, you have me to deal with right now.
Wendell, thank you all the same for making time. Can you talk about your uglier half? Or does that sort of provoke some sort of response?
No, not at all. You know, I haven't pinned down exactly what provoked his response. And I would say that he's actually better looking than I am, if you could believe it.
You're a very dapper gentleman, I must be said.
No, you're flattering me. It's not necessary. See, I come from a long line of Harvard scientists. You know, I'm originally from Boston, but I moved down here to sort of make a name for myself. They were all in the more scientifically and professorially pursuits of their lives. I fell into the more, custodial persuasion of the occupational spectrum.
You mean to suggest that you are a janitor?
Yeah, I wouldn't put it that way, but yes, I'm a custodian. I'm a janitor at Vigilante Ohio Laboratories.
It's an ominous-sounding facility. What goes on there?
Different experiments, you know, trying to create supervillains, trying to create superheroes. I mostly just clean up the messes, and sometimes if there's a math equation on a chalkboard, I will fill it out. Recently, the lead scientist sent out this email, and I pulled it up. He said, "To whom it may concern, please stop interfering with our math equations that we leave on the chalkboard. Squiggly lines do not in any way, shape, or form constitute a proof." And what I say is, you know, it's not a bunch of squiggling lines. Maybe it's just math that hasn't been invented yet. You know, I'm tapping into my family's lineage here.
You know, I've got to take your side of this issue, though I couldn't read most of that email given the unintuitive interface of your Netscape account. But I'm on your side here. Well, maybe we can talk a little bit about this alter ego of yours.
Sure.
I know you sent me a couple of Alta Vista links to pictures of him, but maybe you can describe for our listeners what he looks like.
Yeah, he's a very tall, dapper man, and he's got sort of this uniform that looks like a jigsaw puzzle. His name is Jigsaw. And, you know, sometimes I can converse with him mentally, and I have had numerous conversations with him. You know, my name is Wendell Puzzleman. Why aren't you the Puzzle Man? Why did you go Jigsaw? You know, it's not very the most synonymous link, you know, that you could have come up with, and he's just not having it. And his whole idea is to create chaos among the borders of the world.
I see, finding the edge pieces of society and hopefully losing them in the couch cushions of the universe.
Exactly. He's sort of an edge piece of the society. He's on the fringe of the universe here. You know, metaphysically too, because I don't know when I'm going to turn into him. The triggers that I've noticed that make me turn into Jigsaw, you know, any conversation about places, about maps, family histories, you know, you don't want to talk about those two specifically around me.
Totally unrelated. What are the consequences of turning into Jigsaw?
Oh, he will do a lot of, you know, thumping around and calling the president of the United States and threatening to, you know, destroy society by destroying the borders. I know. I don't know really what his motives are.
Has he been known, sorry to insist, has he been known to maybe break the windows of a recreational vehicle? Has he been known to sort of mess up papers?
Yes, exactly. You know, he obscures and obfuscates the borders between things, not just physical borders, but, you know, societal borders, in the status quo and stuff, by revealing certain things about people. Another big plan of his was he was trying to partner with Doctors Without Borders for a while. He thought that these were doctors who didn't like borders.
And forgive my overstep if this is incorrect, but he also has been known to vandalize and arsonate Borders bookstores.
Exactly. You don't see too many Borders around. You see Barnes & Noble, and that's because he has quite a high stake in Barnes & Noble stock. But really, he doesn't like Borders bookstores. He thinks they're terrible, and that's why you don't see him too much. And if you want me to describe, you know, I wasn't really intent on becoming the supervillain that I am today, but as I said, I was working in the lab. You know, I work in this as the custodian in Vigilante Ohio Laboratories. And I was working in the lab like one night. And, you know, suddenly, to my surprise, and by the way, I based this story off of the song Monster Mash. Have you ever heard of it?
Ever heard of the song Monster Mash?
Yeah, a lot of people say that different songs are based off of their lives, but I like to go the opposite way with it. And so I like to try and base different aspects of my life off of songs to make you know, different people like me. I don't have a lot of friends because I am a supervillain. And so I thought that, you know, doing this whole Monster Mash origin story might help people see the lighter side of who I am.
Well, I'm all ears, Wendell. Please continue.
So, as I said, suddenly to my surprise, a vat of acid fell on me.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be harmed greatly, but I turned into Jigsaw. And what happens when I'm him is I don't really remember too much. And then for some reason, when he turns back into me, I don't have any clothes on anymore.
That probably leads to a couple of awkward public scenarios, doesn't it?
It does, and that's why I don't have a lot of friends. And so I do a lot on, you know, if you've heard of Bumble or Tinder, you know, I try to meet people that way.
Very popular dating apps, yes. Mm-hmm. Bumble in particular is taking off right now. Have you had any success, Wendell?
Not really. The only thing I did do recently was I joined a theater group.
Well, that's constructive, yeah.
I thought it would be a good way to meet people, and I actually thought it would be a great way to meet women. And what I didn't realize until I got there was that it was an all women's lesbian theater ensemble that I'm now a part of. They welcomed me with open arms. It was great. Our troupe is called Natural Born Thespians.
That's a clever name. Clearly they know what they're doing there.
They do. And they really welcomed me with open arms. They don't care about my super villainous deeds and dastardly assignments. And as I said, you know, I don't know when I'm going to turn into Jigsaw, so there might be some sort of improvised scenario where we're talking about, you know, maps or borders or whatever, and I turn into Jigsaw and I storm off stage, and they've been really accepting of that.
Well, if you could do me a favor and sort of just look away, just look out the window for a second while I roll up what is definitely not cartographical artifact here.
I've been looking out the window for a few minutes here now, so are you done with whatever you're doing?
Yep. It's
okay.
Hey, right as rain.
Yeah, and as I said, you know, I don't remember what happens when I'm Jigsaw, really. And I know, though, that he is trying to make it so he is present more often. And so that's kind of an internal struggle that I always have.
Wow. Well, Wendell, you're a brave man for joining us. And it sounds like you have there's a serious struggle going on in your heart and your mind. Mm-hmm. Clearly, you're brilliant, and, you know, I don't care what they say. I don't care if there are acid burns over most of your body. I think you're handsome and great.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
As a thank you. Oh, we have the whole segment.
Yeah, I can leave if you want, but I was told that I would get at least one segment out of this whole segment.
Wendell, if you'd be so kind as to continue your forthright nature and join us for a little segment we like to do here on the show.
I would be happy to.
We call it He Said, She Said. And He Said, She Said is our exploration of the gossip, the rumor mill, the what's what, the who's saying this and that, what's going on in the town. I'm assured that there are some very juicy details floating around about villainy and schemes and which hero is, you know, maybe romantically involved with which other hero. So could you lend your lips to the collective ear of Vigilante and say, what's being talked about?
Well, first things first, I could tell you that nobody is romantically involved with me.
Wendell, I can't imagine. You know, have you tried Plenty of Fish? It's a little bit outdated at this point, but
I've tried Plenty of Fish. I love fish. You know, I've tried tilapia. I've tried salmon. I invite...
Let's move on. So, all right, you're not in any relationships right now.
I'm not. Jigsaw is. And I think that's what happens, that why I don't get a lot of first or second dates. So he kind of takes the first dates, and then I don't remember what happened or who I went out with, so I'm not going to call these women back because I don't know who they are. And they end up getting mad at me. And then Jigsaw ends up getting mad at me because I didn't, you know, seal the deal or whatever he wants to do.
That's complicated. Well, that's too bad. Do you remember some of these when you date women in the town? Mm-hmm. You and Jigsaw together, are they usually super heroines or are they citizens?
We've gone both ways with it. You know, they're all chicks. You know, I don't want to say we've gone both ways with it, but you know.
Well, I mean, Wendell, this is 2017. You know, no need to cover your tracks.
And actually, that's something that Jigsaw loves to do. He loves to cover tracks. He loves to make it so there's no borders. And we love to take down different street signs around the town, too. So people have no idea where they're going. He says it confuses women too to also go out on dates with him.
One of his main romantic angles, just to clarify this, is to create sort of a labyrinthian network of unmarked mm-hmm. streets, and they're exactly. sort of lured into the city center, and then he propositions them for dinner or drink or something.
Exactly. So they might be walking home, and we've already taken down all the street signs, and they end up in the middle of town, and we ask them out on a date. Presumably, you know, that's what happens. And but to answer your question, you know, we've propositioned citizens, we've propositioned superheroes, and really nothing seems to work. We thought that the superheroes might empathize with us a little bit more. You know, they're dealing with the secret identities and whatnot, and so are we. But it didn't work out. We propositioned citizens, and they are just scared of us, and they give us really low ratings on, you know, Bumble or, you know, Uber or whatever app we're using to try and go out with them.
You really have exhausted almost all options, it sounds like, Wendell.
I've literally been an Uber driver trying to ask these women on dates, and nothing is going on. And it's really hard because there's no street signs in the town, you know?
I'm assured that complicates any sort of navigational profession.
But in terms of gossip in the town, you know, did you know that John Voight is a superhero here?
You know, I've heard it rumored, actually. Do you know Voight's hero name?
No, actually I don't. Nobody does. Some say that he's a lot of different superheroes. Some people say that he's actually Burt Reynolds.
Some people, are they claiming that Burt Reynolds and John Voight are the same guy?
Well, they've never been seen together.
I'm actually not certain that's true, but we can move on to the next rumor.
The rumor actually also has to do with Voight's tactic of covering his tracks. The rumor is that if you put glasses on, that you can also be a hero. You know, some people think that they work backwards, I should say. You know, they try to make their secret identity more secretive, and then they think the newspapers will start to catch on and make a hero out of them.
I see. So do you mean to say that I can just put on glasses and that's my first step towards herodom?
Yeah, you put on glasses, you leave in the middle of a podcast for no reason, you know. There's a lot of different tactics to make people start talking and say, oh, why isn't he around when there's a lot of commotion? Or, you know, why did he just show up right after everything happened? And he's wearing glasses now. I didn't know that. Now, your glasses, I should point out, have no lenses in them. So you want an actual prescription in those things.
Oh, I see. I'm just going to quietly put these away. Don't mind the tear that I'm dabbing from the corner of my eye. Wendell, this wasn't what I expected when I invited you on the show, but it's been a wonderful eye-opening experience. So I've got to say again, thanks for joining.
Oh God, I'm turning into something now.
Oh boy.
Oh jeez.
Oh, your skin is smoothing.
No, actually, no. It's just Wendell again. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to build it up. I didn't turn into him.
Oh yeah. On second look, your skin was not smoothing. You were just sweating a great deal for a moment or two.
Yeah, I sweat profusely. I think it's sort of a side effect of all the acid that was spilled on me.
It seems really like a logical step to take there. Again, Wendell, thank you.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, you enjoy the rest of your day. Good luck out there.
Yeah, I'll just put these glasses on and I will see myself out. Thank you. Hey, Vince, there was a guy that was covered in acid burns that walked out of the hallway when I just got back?
Yeah. Did he smell like what acid sweat would smell like?
Yeah, he just smelled like fish and acid, and he said he was going to pick someone up because he drove Uber, so I feel bad for whoever that person is.
Yeah, I feel bad for the person that you saw, frankly.
I should say, though, that I got some great scoops, if you want to look at some little etchings and drawings I made.
Yeah, so this first one just looks like some feathers and a little bit of blood smeared on the front of a stone tablet.
Yeah, there was kind of a mix-up with the bird that was supposed to be making the etchings. I put him down for just a second, and I was in the middle of an intersection when I was trying to draw a picture of this villain.
I see. This is interesting. You have drawn he's a man, and he's wearing a sort of a technicolor dream coat of puzzle pieces.
I saw him a lot, and because I was wandering around the town, there were no street signs. I don't know if you realize that.
Yeah, seems like there've been a lot fewer since we got here.
Yeah, so I was in disguise because I didn't want any of the heroes to know who I was. So I was dressed as a woman. There was no street signs. I was trying to find my way around. And then I was propositioned by this guy to go on a date with me.
Well, how long ago did this happen, Elliot?
It was right when we got into town.
Really,
I was drawing what I remembered.
From memory. Yeah. I see. Mm-hmm. Well, I do love how his glasses, which all villains and heroes wear, mm-hmm. town, I guess, mm-hmm. Are little puzzle pieces.
Yeah, that's a detail that I think should be called out. You know, it's these little attention to details that people put in their superhero costumes here that I think make them more memorable and make this town more memorable in and of itself. People really care about the time they put into their superhero costumes.
Well, Elliot, we've had an enlightening day so far. It's really been a one-of-a-kind experience. Should we head over to our last segment?
I think we should, and that segment is called Did You Know?
So, listeners, maybe you're a crime fighter, or maybe you're just someone with a busy day, but you don't have time to listen to an entire podcast worth of material. So that's why we made Did You Know? A rapid-fire, fast-fact trivia exchange segment where we fire five fast facts back and forth. Elliot, you've got the first one.
I do. Vince, did you know that Seth Rogen is not allowed in Vigilante, Ohio?
Not allowed in a lot of cities, rightfully so, in the United States, but why not Vigilante in specific?
Well, they think that, you know, they have a lot of well-known superheroes in Vigilante, and they think that if Seth Rogen finds one of them and he makes a movie about one, it'll just be terrible, and no one will like that hero anymore.
That sounds really reasonable, and I think any responsible town government should look into banning Seth Rogen from their city.
I agree.
So good on you, Vigilante, and good luck staying Rogen-free. Elliot, I didn't know that. I'm glad I learned it. Did you know that Vigilante, Ohio is single-handedly propping up the American latex industry?
Really? Wow. I didn't know that, Vince.
It's true. I mean, we need look no further than two very obvious things. First of all the latex clothing, you know, the tights.
Yeah,
that's
true.
The capes. True. Also, it's said that supervillains and superheroes often have very aggressive, frequent sexual intercourse with one another.
I didn't hear that, but I'm glad to know that they're protected.
Yeah, you know, there's that sort of rivalry that breeds sort of sexual tension. You know, you foiled my scheme. She stopped my bank heist. He maybe robbed the blimp that I was piloting.
Mm-hmm. That's a frequent one.
a lot of blimps and or Zeppelins being robbed here in Vigilante. But oftentimes, at the end of the day, when the villains and the heroes both clock out of their shifts and they meet at the local watering hole, These tensions can boil over.
And that's great. I didn't know that, Vince. And that leads me to my next Did You Know fact. Did you know that there's a local watering hole?
I did know it. I know that I'm not supposed to know it, but I referenced it in my previous Did You Know, so I actually knew this one. But for our listeners, what about it?
As we've touched on a lot, there's been a lot of different origin stories of superheroes. And so there's a specific watering hole that really all of the toxic waste from this one laboratory, Vigilante Ohio Labs, spills into. So a lot of times,
you're being literal. You meant an actual a hole full of water?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. I guess I didn't know this after all.
What were you thinking? A watering hole?
I mean, I was a colloquial term for a bar.
Oh no, I'm literally meaning a watering hole. People try and go to this watering hole, roll around in the radioactive water and try and get superpowers.
They typically just catch super cancer, though. That's correct, right?
That's the worst form of it.
That's really... Yeah, you don't want it. You definitely don't. You're not mm-hmm. looking for that. Mm-hmm. Elliot, I didn't know that. But did you know the banks here in Vigilante don't even bother having vaults or locking their doors?
Really? Just because there's so frequent robberies?
Yeah, all that would happen to a safe is that it'd get blown up or cracked or heisted. And the money always gets returned anyway when the villains are inevitably foiled. So they've decided having an open door policy with their money and their valuables.
Does this apply to citizens, too, that can just come into the bank and take money whenever they want?
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I did wander in and take a few notes as a souvenir. But typically any large-scale theft is quickly, you know, returned to the status quo by the heroes. Also, the insurance policies the banks have are extremely lucrative. So
interesting. Well, I think I know that stop that we're going to make on our way out of town.
Yep.
And I didn't know that, Vince. But did you know there are there is a surplus of butlers in the town.
I didn't know, Elliot. I didn't know.
Well, every hero has their own butler at their mansion they live in, or their, you know, one bedroom apartment, whatever. You know, everyone's different. And a lot of times when a hero dies, the butler is then set free. They're not bound to that hero anymore. And so there's an app in town called Cumberbun that allows butlers to be placed and matched with a new hero.
I actually have a new version 4.0 of Cumberbun on my phone here. I'm just going to try to pull it up and see what it's all about. This is really strange. There's a... oh, boy. Hey, take a look. It's Wendell. He said, looking for any lonely butlers out there.
That's interesting. I don't know if this is a part of the app, but a little tumbleweed rolled across his screen.
This is not my ringtone. I repeat, the crickets you are hearing has sort of been activated by the app for some reason.
Well, here's hoping that Wendell can find a companion.
Well, Elliot, I actually think that I'm a bit spent.
I am too. This has been a whirlwind of an episode, fighting crime and dastardly deeds. I think we just have time for one more segment, Vince.
I think you are right, Elliot. It's called Wish You Were Here.
So listeners, we know you can't come with us to every town we visit, and so we write an audio postcard from us to you. This week, we're doing something a little bit different. We asked our hero and our villain guest to come together, put their differences aside, and write an audio postcard to you guys from them.
This is previously recorded, so do enjoy one last sign-off from the heroes and villains here in Vigilante. Dear citizen, wish you were here in Vigilante, Ohio.
A town that's, filled with villains, and it's filled with heroes, and it's filled with a Wendell Puzzleman who is looking for a companion.
But one thing it is not filled with, in addition to women who will date Wendell Puzzleman, is crime.
There's always someone to thwart evil, and there is always an open door policy on all the banks, just FYI.
There is also an open door policy to good conversation when you are visited by socially graceful guy, putting the action in mutually agreeable interactions.
There's also an open door policy, it seems, on a lot of the superheroes and heroines in town, except for when it comes to me, apparently.
I am starting to get depressed, so I'm going to wrap this up by saying, in a totally graceful way, farewell!
From these parts to yours.
Hey guys, hope you enjoyed our time in Vigilante, Ohio, and we hope you'll join us next week when we're in Manhattan, New York.
Manhattan is a quaint little community in coastal New York State, almost unheard of, tiny population. It really should be a good insight on small town America. Don't miss it.